Blog Talk Radio.
Time again on a Wednesday evening. I'm Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne. This is Kay's Son and Friends. I am Kay's son. And I am talking on the radio like my mom did for so many years. And we're just continuing this discussion. Because you know what? We need to keep an eye on things. We need to talk about things, y'all. That's Steve Wonder. Like I said, we can work out is the name of that song. That's my man, Steve. He still holds up to that classic forever lyrics. Yeah, music nowadays is a little bit different depending on what you're listening to, if you know what I mean. And I got my boys, the legendary historian Byron Saunders, legendary newsman Wayne Gilman. This 22nd. Let me just say this. If you listen to our show, if you download the show, I see that there are some people out there that are listening to us, that are downloading us. You know what? I would appreciate And what we would appreciate that you could do, if you're listening to it on the website and you go to the page, just put a little like or a comment or something on there so we can, other than the stats that I see, that we can know that you appreciate or at least like some of the discussions that we have. And anything that you want to hear us talk about, anybody that wants to call in and make a comment, the call-in number is 323-679-0906 if you want to talk about some things. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news. I'm sure that you have. We got 24-hour news. How could you miss it? But you've probably seen the situation at the border with Haitian migrants that have come all the way up from, I guess, I've been wanting to look on a map, a world map, to see, first off, you know, obviously, anytime people are walking thousands and thousands of miles, they must really be desperate. And not just any of the migrants that want to come across that border in Texas, right, that they're able to walk all the way up from South America, you know. And so people must really be desperate, right, if they're going to do that. People, when they leave their own country, their own home, they must be desperate, right? The only reason they're going to leave is that and come to your country or your neighborhood. I'm making it a little bit more local about myself because I'm thinking about how I feel about what happens on the weekends in my neighborhood, in my community. It seems to be a town that a lot of people like to come and hang out and socialize in, and gets to be a little bit annoying after a minute. So I'm wondering if I'm becoming elitist to a certain degree. You know, it's not elitist if you just expect the people to act and behave in a certain manner, a certain decent way. We have manners and rules and things. You respect other people's right to live in a community, and you don't do certain things that you might find in other unfortunate communities where people don't respect their neighbors or their fellow community members. So that being said, back to the immigration situation. I'm gonna bring the guys in, you guys in here in a minute. But of course, people are desperate, right? And Haiti has caught so much hell, I guess, kind of literally, obviously, if you look at things. But, you know, excuse me, it's you're wondering what, and I guess Byron's going to go into the history about how the certain European countries and the United States, I believe, kind of decided to gang up on Haiti a little bit. But they need help, and nobody is going to walk that far if they aren't really desperate for a new way of life. And a lot of these people were, they said, were living in these other countries, I guess, Panama or Colombia for years. They left when the earthquake happened years ago, the last earthquake before this most recent one that happened after the assassination of their president, mysteriously by people yelling that they were the DEA. Yeah, whatever. But so they've been catching a lot of hell, you know, the people. And one thing I've learned about service, public service, of watching people that raised me, the people they were involved in, is, and above all else, when you get in that position, put their dreams and their hopes and their desires and their faith in you to do the right thing and represent them, what you're supposed to do is exactly that, represent them in the best possible case, the broadest cross-section of people. You want to try and help the most people. That's why I said before, the job of a president is to make sure that everybody's way of life, simple way of life, is not interrupted. It's not made worse. And certainly when a country comes to a standstill, the leader of the free world, the country, comes to a standstill because of the ignorance of the person that's in charge at the time, that interrupts everybody's daily life. And I'm getting off on a tangent away from that, but that's what people were facing in Haiti, their daily life. They didn't have people coming from these other countries because their daily life is unbearable, unsurvivable. So they look for a new form of life, a new existence, or a way in which they can pursue happiness, provide for their family, and have some sort of self-determination. I always say that, you know, someone's right, a person's right for self-determination, to be able to be free, to be able to be to live free, to be able to have a decent life, whatever they're willing to work for. So they cannot have that stability in their country, which is why they left so many years ago. And now the opportunity, for whatever reason, you know, I guess those opportunities are drying up from what I understand in the news and those other places. And so they're coming up here. One of the things I wonder about is what these other countries are doing. You know, we're always talking about we have this crisis at our border, but what's Mexico, what's Colombia, whatever the countries that would be the route that all of these people would have to walk through to go to America? I mean, are they stopping those people at the border and say, hey, where are you going? Or are they saying, yeah, you can go pass through just as long as you keep passing on through all the way to the United States. And there's the little highway over there for people making their track all the way to the United States. I'm wondering, what's their plan? I mean, you know, United States, I know we've got everything and all that, but what is the plan of these other countries that seem to let all these people just pass right through their country straight to the United States? I don't know. What's going on, Mexico? What's going on, Colombia, wherever these other countries are? That's just my concept. But let's bring the fellas in before we get off all into the other things. Byron Saunders, legendary historian. How are you doing this evening?
Well, my brother, my heart is very heavy today. Just a few minutes ago, I just heard that the legendary Melvin Van Peebles passed away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and because the iconic thing about Melvin, and I'll swing back to the Haitian issue, is that Melvin told stories of truth. And we have to understand and recognize the truth of our story, because they're swift pivot and giving on homage, ashe, to Melvin Van Peebles and the legacy that he left behind of telling the truth about us in this country. And here's something pivoting back to Haiti. There are four major questions, Eric, that must be asked. Here's one. I'm going to just start off because the Haitian migration situation at our southern border in Texas, Del Rio, demands some answers to a series of questions that have yet to be explained to the American public by the Biden-Harris administration and the talking heads of the affiliated news agency. Question number one, how did 14,000 Haitians, gaping the assassination of its president, a devastating earthquake, a COVID-19 pandemic, creating a health crisis that is out of control, get from a Caribbean island to the shores of the Gulf Coast to Texas without being noticed by our overly budgeted defense system without any alarm of notification.
Well, they were saying that a lot of these people have been living in Colombia. They had moved years ago. They were living there for years ago. So they,
by an earthquake, another earthquake. And yes, somebody had to, number two, who financed their journey to our southern border. Because, yes, they're coming up from Colombia through Mexico. I heard you. You're absolutely right. But the question still remains is that we have this entire defense network that you couldn't see a mass of 14,000 people moving. Number three, once again, the U.S. global diplomatic initiatives have shown its agenda is rife with a white supremacy, racist policy content that provides people of color, especially those of African diaspora descent, no leniency towards one of our closest neighbors when our military just airlifted over 120,000 Afghanistan allies seeking safety in our nation. Their victorious 1805 Haitian Revolution, when they defeated the mighty French Navy under Napoleon's command, has been to participate in the global blockade. Hear me when I say this. A global blockade to render Haiti to become the poorest Western Hemisphere nation. America's relationship with Haiti since that time is to treat them like a slave owner whose plantation was overthrown, freeing its slaves from an oppressive overlord and a slave master. That is it, period. And when you see those images of those border guards herding them like cattle, let's go back to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Horses, dogs, batons, hoses. That's like from 1805 to 1964, and you keep moving forward. We just lost the person who filmed our brother who got beat 62 times on a traffic stop in L.A. Do you remember that? Okay, because it's the same concept. The same thing with George Floyd. And today, the George Floyd Initiative for Police Reform is dead. Did anybody believe, and I'm going to say this because I'm a Christian man, and what I really want to say about that, Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina, is without a doubt America's number one handkerchief head, lawn jockey, sellout, house nigger, mofo, Republican, lapdog, coon, to ever walk the halls of Congress and the U.S. Senate. And his participation in the failed bipartisan police reform was a total sham from the very beginning. Qualified immunity. They're all connected, Eric. Qualified immunity is currently being engaged is the way in which police misconduct and criminal behavior, just like at the border, can hide behind their blue shield of criminal activities and prosecution and immunity. This issue must be obliterated if there's ever to be any kind of reform. And like I said, being a Christian man, I could have called him a lot of other names, but I tried to clean up my verbiage today. But, you know, I never had faith in that coon right from the very beginning. Now we're dealing with not just a pandemic, more racism, more of an initiative of a voter rights bill, and as I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to say this again, if the Democrats really want to go nuclear, it's very easy. You just subpoena 147 individuals for violating their constitutional oath and participating in aiding and abetting a failed coup d'etat. Force them to come to the well, and guess what? They will be lifted of their voting privileges and the one man, one vote rule. The Democrats can roll this because they went rogue on us the last four years with that orange clown and Mitch the bitch. Went rogue on us, tiddlywinks with them. They want to play tiddlywinks. And they're showcasing the very, very reality. They have no intention of doing bipartisan, and you declare them a terrorist organization because they stormed the Capitol. Those were Republicans. There wasn't a single Democrat in that storm troop activity.
Right. Let's bring Wayne. You know, just real quick. The Haitian situation. I would be interested to see learn the full context of White Around Horseback and where the people were trying to go back and forth to. But certainly the police force, you know, one of their original jobs was to be slave catchers, right? To enforce the laws of the United States. Laws of the United States stated that black people were slaves, and that police force, one of the foundational principles of the police force was to enforce that very law. Let's bring Wayne, the legendary newsman, in for his take. Wayne, how you doing this evening?
Greetings, gentlemen. I have to say I'm stunned by Byron's announcement tonight about Melvin Van Peebles. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I was unaware, long story with him. We were caught in a fire about 25, 30 years ago at BLS. And one of the fastest individuals I knew then, he was 20 years my senior, but he could run.
Come on in the background. We could really hear it. It would really be good if you could turn it down. Go ahead.
I have nothing on.
No, I'm just saying if one of you guys does. But go ahead with you.
Okay. Saying. Yeah, anyway, I know we can reflect on Melvin later on, but it just shook me up when Byron mentioned that. I was astounded by, and you said it eloquently just a moment ago, Eric, that, you know, this is how they used to round us up back in the day. You know, it surprises me that, and of course Biden cannot be on top of every living thing. But it just, you know, surprises me when I saw that film footage of these guys on horseback, you know, going after these people who are fleeing, you know, not only their own pandemic there, but the one that we're faced with here in this country, trying to seek a better way of life by coming here. And they treated them like freaking cattle. You know, it still disturbs me when I watch that and it's repeated on TV. To the administration's credit, Kamala Harris has been quietly working behind the scenes. I just read this a few hours ago, where she is interacting, and it's not a secret because, I mean, the whole effort by the administration was to slow down the whole process of having people leave their native countries to escape whatever problems are going on there to stay, and I'm led to believe that there's some successful movement with that, but Haiti's situation is so volatile, and it's been so volatile for so many years, and has been, you know, we can go back 30, 40 years ago, every president has had their hand on that half of the island. And it just disturbs me that nothing is ever gets resolved. I mean, when you look at the rest of the Caribbean, I'm not saying it's stable, but, you know, it just seems that particularly that country, and I hate to go here, but it seems almost as if it's been cursed, you know. But I am hopeful that what Biden said earlier today, that he was going to correct that situation at the border, is that he's held to his feet on that, and that there is some manner in which to treat immigrants as they try to escape all sorts of problems in their native countries and seek asylum here. This is what this country was founded on, and I always go back. The fact with Americans, most of them, even people elected in Congress, have not traveled long and far enough to see how much wide open space we have here. It'll be a long time before we run out a lot of land. And so, therefore, they've got to come up with something. A, because I know a lot of people would not want to leave, you know, if things were great going on where they came from.
Of course.
Those who are hearing it, those who managed to successfully escape places where there's abuse, political abuse, and all sorts of insurrection going on in their respective countries, and they have family here, they hear how much better it is here, you know?
Yeah.
And there's just something that has to be done to create a balance, because this will continue. And if, again, we got a bigoted bunch on that Republican side, as Byron pointed out. You know, it just bothers me. You know, I hate to use the reference that, you know, Byron referred to Melvin. Excuse me. The Senate Minority Leader as a bitch. Well, he needs to be bitch slapped. Pardon the expression. So much crap comes from his mouth that on a regular basis, and I hate to even get, you know, go to the gutter, but sometimes this is the only thing that you can come up with at times like this when you hear such sophomoric logic for, you know, why that they would put the government at risk with the debt issue, the whole issue with the vote, immigration. I could go on and on, you know, but I don't know. I don't mean to be maudlin, but I'm just like really shocked about the Van Peebles death. You know,
yeah.
He lived a long time.
Yeah, he was you know, everybody knows Melvin Van Peebles was a trailblazer, certainly. And fortunate that, you know, you guys obviously had the chance to meet him. I had the chance to meet him. And,
yeah.
And most recently, a couple of years ago, when he came over to the Newark International Film Festival.
Right.
That was the last time I saw him. But, yeah, we met him during the time we were trying to get Drop Squad made, go from the session, the short version, to Drop Squad. He gave us some advice. So, and I really wasn't up. I never saw Sweetback's Badass Song. I really wasn't as familiar with his place. And I think, you know, the real thing people will say about Melvin Van Peebles is that when he made that movie, he raised his own money, right? If I'm not mistaken, Byron,
yeah.
He raised his own money to shoot the film. And it did such a phenomenal success. Because some people say watching the film, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's an acquired taste or whatever. But it was the example, I think, that more than maybe the subject matter. I got to see the film for myself before I could even speak on it. But I think it was the example of him self-financing, you know, doing all of those things, getting the distribution by himself and really working to get the movie made and not rely on anybody else. I think that was the thing that was trailblazing for him and you know, continued on a tradition of people like, you know, I'm forgetting, Oscar Michel. And various other black filmmakers and entertainers. I just recently watched a documentary about of the 30s and 40s of black entertainment and film and movie companies that were making movies. And because black people couldn't get any work in the white films other than playing slaves and mammies. And so these independent filmmakers started making their own movies for black people. And then when the larger studios and larger white filmmakers started seeing there was money to be made in that, you know, they started making these movies too, positive movies about black people. So it kind of ended up, of course, as it always does, pushing out the black filmmakers that were making these films. So, you know, Melvin is part of that long and great tradition of black filmmakers and black producers trying to get the story of our people out. You know, they had the President Biden obviously was in at the UN, Wayne. I don't know if you had to deal with any of that traffic if you were down in Manhattan during
that. For a minute yesterday. I took the train. I have to say, honestly, I was amazed at how things have gotten a little better. You
mm-hmm.
know, but it was chaos by the UN.
Yeah, and he kind of stood, you know, what I like about, and I really didn't, I watched his speech, but I really didn't, you know, I wasn't really that deep into it. But what I do like is I like the fact that Joe sticks to his guns and is standing firm by his decisions. And, you know, at least their decisions made with some sort of, you know, people could talk about the Afghanistan pulling out and things like that and how it was done. And we can all, you know, have criticisms. But I'm one, as you guys know, I'm one who's big on context, knowing the whole context of situations and how we got into what jumped everything off. Tell the story from the beginning so everybody knows the whole story, not just part of the story, which is a big thing in the United States, big thing in America, particularly when you have some people that have basically lied about the entire history of America and are willing to clearly, obviously, beat people up, kill people to perpetuate those lies, right? And if we remember anything about this book, this new book, Peril, that came out by Bob Woodward and Bob Costa, Robert Costa, about how Trump and these guys, they had a whole plan. They had a whole plan to nullify the election, and Pence was going to do that, and they were going to go to, if Pence didn't do it, they're going to have, they had Ted Cruz on standby and whoever else on standby to do it. These guys, they had a whole plan. It's unbelievable, but it's not unbelievable. It's not unbelievable to me.
My friend, see, and this is the part of which we need to dissect what you just said about the plan, not just the plan. You see, we need to stop playing political chicken games with these treasonous criminals in both in D.C. and in the state capitals all across our nation, period. See, America, you've gotten three books written by Pulitzer Prize winning journalists defining exactly and accurately the step by step of that orange president and his entire administration with the co-conspirators of 147 members of the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate who participated in, aided, and abetted constitutional crimes of treason in a failed coup d'etat against our government. And you're still trying to give them all a pass without going after all of them with the full force of our justice system? I mean, how many more books need to be written? Now, you're sitting up here and telling me all the talking news heads, they're trying to figure out, oh, he was so crazy, he was insecure, he was a stop the goal right there. You need to be asked, what in the hell are you waiting for to officially charge and convict every single one of these traitors? It's very clear cut, and that the only thing left to be asked of the Justice Department and the honest legislators who still stand to protect and serve our Constitution, putting no one above the law, as to what immediate remedies. I don't want to know about his mental state anymore. We were saying he was crazy back when your mom was still alive. He's crazy.
Yep.
The remedies and legal actions that must be taken right now to end our nation's chaos and the ongoing threats that are mounting every single day awaiting for another attempt to overthrow our government. Stop playing these games, period, people. Because, I mean, as I told you guys last week, I am sick and tired of having Homeland Security put my city, our nation's capital, under a high alert every 3 months. And it's going to continue until you put a stop to that blitz the bitch.
Gentlemen,
both gentlemen from South Carolina, you know, and every last one of them who participated, they all were engaged in the phone calls. We got the records. I learned something last week that I really didn't know. I said we have at least 17 police agencies in the District of Columbia. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I must stand corrected. I heard it from a congressperson. We have 30 police divisions in the nation's capital. So you mean to tell me 30? We are the most secure.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that there was some kind of something going on within the system. Some moles or spies in the mix, right?
He set up General Flynn's brother to take over the Pentagon. So when the insurrection failed coup d'etat was taking place, the call was made to the Pentagon to release the National Guard to come into the city of D.C. And you know who picked up the phone? General Flynn's brother. Hello.
Of course.
Hello.
You guys remember me. Go ahead, finish your point.
Well, the point must be made is that, stop writing books. I don't need to have any more books. We have all the evidence we need. And start rendering the subpoenas that I understand the Select Committee is about to bring all hell, let it loose.
You know what the situation is with that. The situation is with that that I find is that you still have people that are talking heads and the like that they're so flabbergasted and surprised of the actions of some of these individuals, you know? And it's like, It's no more time to be surprised. Either you know that your people are racist or not. And there's also, also I find them to be, to kind of soft pedal some of the actions of some of the people. And just in listening to someone like Joe Scarborough or this woman, Nicole Wallace, who are on the network that I watch, but you can hear them soft pedaling some things or really kind of surprised and just kind of bewildered about, sometimes they're really bewildered about, you know, what's going on and why are so many people and all this whole bewildered stuff, man, that I don't know, maybe because I'm black and maybe you guys had to walk in our shoes, but we see it. And all of this stuff you're talking about, all this danger, you know, terrorist danger, we've been dealing with. That ain't nothing new to us. It ain't nothing new that these devils are going to try to come out here and be terrorists. They've been terrorists all our life. They've been terrorists to us for 400 years. You know who it's new to? Their people. Their people that their own people that are realizing, hey, they don't care whether they get some of us as well. You know, that's what they're realizing. No, they don't care about you. And while you guys all thought it was just the black people they were going off, if you're down with anything, or if you're against anything they're saying, they don't care about you either. And so that's what I'm talking about, that they finally get to the point where they're surprised. And there was something that in particular that was said on that Nicole Wallace said on her show the other day, and it was really kind of soft peddling of some of the insurrectionists. And it just was like, to me, it's the constant, you know, and the only people who watch the news shows are us, the policy, the wonky people who are 24-hour news people, right?
Right.
And usually what happens with people on our side, usually, you know, we might try, like Wayne, you know, you said you watch Fox every once in a while, might be open to hear, you know, I might click on Newsmax or whatever just to, you know, let me hear the other side. Let me hear someone make a serious, well-thought-out argument for what they're trying to say. And if you talk about old school Republicans or ones that aren't racist, that are conservative, just that are physical conservatives and various things, then yeah, that's an argument. But when they start talking this crazy racist stuff and just the, you know, like they had Larry Elder talking about white supremacy doesn't exist, you know, and I think he's in the running with Tim Scott for Handkerchief Head Negro of the Year. But that's the type of thing that we need to be aware of and to talk back against. And I constantly say this about the Democrats. They need to have just a PR campaign, just like the Republicans have. Clearly, the Republicans have a PR campaign person whose job it is to perpetuate the lies. So the Democrats need to have individuals whose sole job it is to call out and every day cite how bad things were and how terrible the things that they are trying to do are. Somebody needs to be talking about every single day, hey, our friggin' life was interrupted. Our way of life was interrupted because of the incompetence of your boy. We were at a standstill. People were dying because this guy was trying to weaponize. He was trying to weaponize that virus. That's what he was trying to do. First, he was trying to bullshit people about it because he didn't want to – his statistics or whatever, he didn't want it to look bad on his record as president. Then he tried to weaponize it. Talk about what the Democratic governors were doing as opposed to the Republican governors were doing. That man was trying to weaponize the virus and send out, you know, the vaccines to people that were cool with him as opposed to being the president, like I said. When you get the elected office, your job is to serve everybody. Go ahead, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No, I happen to agree with you, and I think he succeeded to a certain extent. That's why this country still has a monumental death toll as a result of those people who decided not to get the vaccine. Some of them look like us. It amazes me. It astounds me every time I see something like this, you know, particularly young people, because there's so much misinformation. And when you hear there was an interview tonight, apparently the young man who was in the hospital with COVID apparently passed, but in a more earlier in his treatment for the disease, you know, he was turning the corner favorably, and then all of a sudden that's how that disease seems to operate. You know, it seems to a certain extent that one minute you could be doing well, and then the next minute, and he's saying, I regret not, you know, using my common sense, there were enough educated people telling us to go out and get the vaccine. He had an opportunity. He chose to believe what was on the internet. And I still maintain that is the biggest problem this country faces because of the misinformation. It's one thing to turn to Fox and all the other stations that are like Fox and hear the misinformation being spewed there. And then, you know, you come back. Sometimes I get tired of watching what I hear on MSNBC. But, I mean, I do know to a certain extent what I hear there and on CNN. Is certainly is something that I happen to embrace and applaud for the most part. Largely, I give people credit, like people like Nicole Wallace and Joe Scarborough, for leaving the freaking party. But I also I'm with you on this whole thing of being ignorant. I didn't know that was going on. You know, I mean, like, please.
They helped
What's
to build
about?
The foundation for that party. They helped to build the foundation for that party. You know,
you know,
say what you want.
Even Michael
Steele,
he ain't leaving the GOP, but he wants to change it.
And look how they treated him as the first black.
Yeah,
Look how they treated him. Literally treated him.
That I learned as you relate to the ignorance factor. Because this weekend, I spoke to a few people from around the country, and I mentioned about the September 18th. Salute to the non-patriots, okay? They didn't even know about it. You hear what I said?
Wow.
They didn't even know about it, guys. All right?
What was that
as
again?
If it was,
again?
I was asked, letting them know about the salute to the people who were trying to overthrow the J6 salute this past weekend on the 8th Saturday, and I'm in two different locales.
Keep going, guys.
Savannah, Georgia, talk to somebody. Florida, talk to somebody. And they were both black, and they didn't even know about it. They didn't know anything about it.
I'm amazed because that was well publicized.
Filtering. That's right, the filtering of the news by way, because Fox has a hold on that southern area. The Fox News, they play it at the airport. You get off it. I mean, it's everywhere. The MSNBC, CNN, last stations to see. But they're listening to propaganda that is basically loading them up with live bad news cycles. And of course, they'll listen to the sports, whatever, because Fox has football NFL contract. They got the SEC contract. So they can tell you anything about Alabama and Florida and Tennessee, and you know, the football team, Braves baseball team. Can they tell you anything about the political machinations going on in their own state? The fact that Roethlisberger in Atlanta, Georgia, gentlemen, the select committee, the J6 select committee, and working hand in hand with the prosecutors in Atlanta, relative to bringing down these 147, because Lindsey Graham made the call to Georgia. Mm-hmm. McCarthy made the call to Georgia. Everybody in the administration, Trump made the call to Georgia. And the ongoing, this is why I'm saying, see, if the Democrats really have to start playing hardball, they can begin to require the Justice Department to decertify certain members who are both in the Senate and the Congress and say that they are representing a rogue terrorist organization. And by doing that, then you take away their privileges to vote. And you have to do
that. Well, I agree with you.
Because
as long
as they go vote, go ahead, Wayne.
No. It's just going to say that I agree with you, but I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, I'm not saying that the Democrats are spineless, but the fact of the matter is there is so much on their plate right now, you know, that they want to get through, that I don't even think, and I'm not even totally sanguine about the operation of the Justice Department because of all the things that the Orange Man did before he left, all the appointments that he made. You know,
yeah.
So that's a whole other issue. But I mean, in the real scheme of things, in the real world, you're absolutely right. These people should be removed. They've been cited. It's been talked about going back to last year when it first happened, and nothing is done. It's like swept under the rug. And I tell you, the midterms are right around the corner. We're on the precipice of 2022. You know, we cannot afford to act weak and spineless. Can afford to swallow misinformation and make it a part of our mantra that this direction that we need to go. You know, it's sad, but I still hold optimism that something will be
done.
You know,
because what I'm listening to Biden, and I'm going to say I'm strongly with what they're doing and the effort that they're making, because his United Nations presentation and his COVID Zoom session today was pushing the initiative of humanitarian efforts led by the United States of America. And you have to remember, the last 4 years under the orange guy was all about America first. We were pushing guns and weapons to all of the European countries and even to Saudi Arabia, who was fighting a war against Yemen and against, talking about giving them a nuclear armament. So, I mean,
he was talking about bringing the Taliban to Camp David.
That's to Camp David. and that's why I'm saying, if we wouldn't let the Al-Qaeda be coming to our well of Congress and the Senate as a terrorist organization, I am telling you there's no rationale for allowing the Republican Party who have declared themselves to be a terrorist political a party with an initiative to destabilize our federal government.
Yeah,
is they're doing it right in front of our faces.
Of course,
and so
exactly.
At some point they got to stand up and say, you are violating your oath, your constitution, and you have allowed the Confederate flag to come into the nation's capital.
But that means you got to weed out the Dixiecrats like Joe Manchin and Kristi Sinema, right?
Right.
So
that's and I'm telling you, once you do that,
not everybody's
down
with the program.
That's right. But once you do that, you then remove the so-called 20 to 30%, the guys who and the men and the women who are playing obstruction politics. You remove them from the well, and they will no longer have a vote to be able to do filibustering, anything, because it's still one man, one vote, and the filibuster is a rule like the Electoral College. It's nothing but a validation of the 3/5 rule that was done back when the Haitian Revolution of 1805. That's when this country began to create its police force to do one thing and one thing only, keep black people in place.
Right. So Byron, let me ask you about you were talking about the J6 rally. I had to step away from the mic for a second. You said you were talking to people that didn't even know.
And also,
tell me how it was received in D.C., because they said, you know, obviously there a lot less people
you mean
came out.
The 200 people that showed up? The 200 people that showed up? There were more press there than the people who showed up.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion.
I heard 400, but I'm glad
opinion,
you clarified that.
That's right, because in my opinion, then who's going to pay for that? See, because at the point at which the buses that were paid for by Republican Party initiatives and Trump people who brought them here on January 6th were the same initiators of this program. And I do not want one red cent being charged to our nation. You charge the Republican Party. Strip them of their wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, I've been saying that the Republican Party now is equivalent to the White Citizens Council in the 50s, right?
Yeah.
That's really who they are. I mean, it's George Wallace's Republican Party, not reformed, seen the light, George Wallace, what I never believed. But, George Wallace standing in the doorway of the school, George Wallace, you know, and then – getting shot and all that and becoming paralyzed, you see the light, you see the error of your ways after the fact. He was shot by a white guy, as a matter of fact, in case anybody wants to know. But I don't, you know, all of this come to Jesus and all these people seeing the light and having the epiphany when they spend all the time helping to build up and to fortify a system that's been kicking our backs in all this time. And now that perhaps on the horizon, a different America is emerging, and some people are concerned whether, you know, they're going to get the same treatment that they've meted out to people, and they want to change sides, so to speak, or maybe they actually have seen the light or gotten, had the epiphany. But, you know, I don't believe anything anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't believe in the advertisements they've sold me about America and the great and the commercials, and I don't believe any of that anymore. And I don't believe what I've come to learn in these years of being alive is that these people, and I've said it before, certain members of that practice white supremacy would rather blow this shit up than share it, than acknowledge that they have to be equal to someone. You know, I often think about the white people who are like just astonished that there are people who think they can make people slaves. I mean, you know, I envision in my mind, you know, back in the day when they were having the meeting and all the white folks come in, and then some of them white people were saying, and you know, we're going to have slaves and we're going to do this in our society. And I know some of the white people were in there like, say what now? We gonna do what? Because there are those white folks that are like, what are you people talking about? You can't make people slaves. You know, we all have white friends like that. We all know white people. Like, I mean, clearly the movements that have been happening over the last 2 or 3 years couldn't have happened without white folks that see a world where everybody is truly equal, right? Yes. And seeing how and thinking how crazy those other people are that think like that. And certainly, like I've said this before, in this day and age, there really should be no reason why you can't seek out information on your own. Just wouldn't you just be curious about what the other side is talking about? I mean, natural human curiosity, the kind you have as a child to pick everything up, to touch everything. Wouldn't you be a little bit curious about, let me see what the other side is talking about? They make so much noise, then let me see, what's your point? But clearly, there's individuals. Listen, we got a lot of people, like Wayne, you said, people get their information and news off the internet and off of social media. Look at Nicki Minaj. Nicki, I mean, you know.
Please. I am embarrassed.
I would never.
As a daddy in America, I am freaking embarrassed.
She's ignorant of the facts. And the fact that it's like they were putting the whole Britney Spears saga on the nightly news like it was something that we all cared about. I don't give a rat's ass about what's happening with Britney. I, you know, don't want her to be abused. I understand that, all that. But her parents let her be pimped out like that in a way, and I understand the music industry does that. But they let her be presented to the world in a very mature way when she was still a very young girl. And so now, all these years later, you know, for us to have to, you know, and it's a tragic story. But I don't know whether it's newsworthy for us to be showing it on the nightly news 3 or 4 nights in a row. But it's just another example of white supremacy, right? Because here's what's something happened to this little blonde princess that we have. And you know, we need to stop and take time out and talk. And she's got a lot of fans. Hey, right on for her fans. And like I said, you know, if the crazy stuff was happening, you want everybody to have a happy life, decent life. But come the hell on, man. I didn't need to hear her story 3-4 nights in a row on the nightly news when I'm trying to really see what's going on in the world. Because check it out, there's a lot bigger shit happening than some bullshit happening abroad in a privileged country.
And I hear what you're saying. I equate that also with the, and it's regrettable what happened to this young lady from Blue Point, Long Island. You know, that has been the lead story in the metropolitan area here. You know, here it is. We had the 12th victim of suicide in Rikers Island today, and yet we're still leading with the unfortunate loss of this young lady. And I'm not minimizing that, because there are a lot of women of color. This is a blonde, blue-eyed young lady from Long Island, from a family of means, decided to go on this trip across country with her boyfriend, and apparently no one really vetted him out because apparently he has had issues, and it's been memorialized because it's been shown on nightly news every night about how he was abusing her, but yet, you know, neither side in terms of his parents nor hers, you know, said anything about it. This didn't just happen yesterday. But I look at all the black women who've fallen victim to that on a regular basis. They're not in the front cover, the lead story on television, on nightly news. You know, I know I sound insensitive, and there are people who probably find my comments abhorrent, but this is the deal. This is the America that we're living in, you know, and
it's
I
not,
agree with
not
you.
True.
I mean, I don't think, you know, Britney Spears, some of her music I like, but... Hey, her misfortune is her misfortune. You want to hear about misfortunes? Go through our family records, you know?
I find it a little bit different between the two, you know, the young lady who got murdered and Brittany. I was certainly interested, obviously, to see what happened, you know, because everybody knows that clearly looks like the boyfriend did it. And, you know, I could see that being more newsworthy than what was happening with Brittany. And of course...
No, I understand,
of course there are people who feel
that triggered,
you know
the whole image of the white blonde.
And I
guess that's what I was
that's where we're going, that there seems to be you know, we're in America, so... and that's not an old... I mean, that's not a new observation by people, right? I mean, just...
Exactly.
Just within the last 5 years, really missing black children, missing black girls and women, started being a movement, if you remember, of how people said, give our missing young girls, black girls, the same amount of attention that you give their white counterparts. I mean, I remember that movement over the last couple of years that, you know, and some people were catching on to it, some talking heads, some news agencies were catching on to it. Or we're agreeing, like, yeah, we kind of ignore all the black children or black women that have been snatched or are missing, and we're always highlighting the white ones. So at least there was some realization in some parts, on the part of some people, that, you know, we need to try to attempt to at least give some attention to other people of other races that have been snatched up.
Yeah, because before Gabby Petito, hundreds of indigenous girls went missing in Wyoming
with
very little media attention.
Yeah.
So it's been an ongoing situation. And once again, people of color, because we are all treated the same, whether we're Native American, African diaspora, Asian Indian, you know, the Afghanistan people, because they are people of color, all right? We don't do this to the Germans. We don't do this to the Dutch. We don't do this to the Swedish. We don't do this to the French. We don't do this to the Great Britain white people. We only do it to the people of color globally. And if there's another pandemic, that's your pandemic right there of global racism.
Well, yeah. And it's, like you said,
you're right.
It's not necessarily we. Some other folks that are doing it and perpetuating it against people of color all over the world. I mean, it's really obvious.
Eric, do you know, and Wayne, in our history, we have not dropped a single bomb or raised a single armament against any white European nation since World War II Germany. Not one. Even the Croatia was about Muslims against Christians. And so you have to really think about that.
That's interesting, yeah. And yet we find room for them to come to the States, you know, when they're escaping their crisis at home. So, you know, what's that about? You're absolutely right.
I think it's probably about avoiding... Or keeping the eventual look of America, the population look that's changing, you know? The population is changing.
Yeah.
more black and brown. So they need to have more people of European descent coming to the country. And that's what they're, you know, what Trump called African nations, shithole nations, and all that other crazy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And so until we get rid of that agenda, or individuals with that agenda are able to neutralize individuals with that agenda, you know, once again, it starts with the politics, starts with the education, and we have to educate our young. Like the whole, this is the thing about the Nicki Minaj situation to me. Too many of our young people, particularly black and young, that age, obviously get their news from Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that. And like I said about learning the context, you know, I mean, I wouldn't, in the context, I probably wouldn't, even if I was their age, maybe, I wouldn't be expecting political information from someone like Nicki Minaj, right? I probably would pay attention to her if she was giving fashion tips. I might be interested to hear what she has to say. Or if she was giving plastic surgery tips or opera tips. I understand she's a great opera singer or stuff like that. But why would I ever pay attention to anything that she says about something that she's not known to have a reputable a perspective on? So just the fact that she
I
said
agree.
That,
but the, and it even you know, became the thing a news is, story. There is some young, feeble mind who, you know, I mean, when I saw the thing played, first of all, I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. And then, you know, I understand the psyche, I'd like to say, because those are my roots. The island she's from, I know how some people talk a lot of nonsense, but for the health minister to come on radio and TV from Trinidad to dispel this notion. I mean, I couldn't believe that this story had picked up so much attention.
Right.
You know,
that was what
and,
was surprising about
you know,
to me.
That's
as
the
well.
Thing. You know, again, you have these Twitter accounts and you're being followed. And I've been against this. One of the reasons why I bowed out of the media 10, 12 years ago and I'm back in it now, you know, it's like if you can't beat them, join them. But I'm learning also. I'd like to feel that there are things that social media is doing positively that you know, needs to be promoted. But, you know, it's that kind of nonsense that spreads like wildfire. And if you're not accustomed to, you know, like us, you know, I'm not minimizing our lives. I mean, we're all very active, but the fact of the matter is, you know, there was a time when I would just listen to music all day. You know, I will admit to that. But, you know, I get up and I'm on news. I go to bed, I'm in news. I'm just,
right.
That's been my life, you know. And
yeah.
It's just one of those things. And right. I don't think it's any different from anybody else out here who's educated and wants to do something. Even those
right.
who with the least education, you know, would like to at least you know, maintain a certain modicum amount of understanding as to what's going on in this world.
There it is, Wayne. You get the last word. There it is.
That's it.
We got to go. Byron, give the people your send off. Excuse me.
Peace and love always, and let's be the majority that we voted to be and are. God bless us all. Peace and love.
There it is, Brother B. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Amen.
Wayne Gilman, legendary.
Yeah, I'm just going to say rest in peace, Melvin Van Peebles. You know, sorry I never met you at Central Park for track, but, you know, brother, rest in peace. You did your job.
Yes, sir. The one and only Melvin Van Peebles. We'll talk to you again, Wayne. Take care.
All the best.
All right, brother. This has been Kay's Son and Friends on Wednesday, one of our broadcasts. I'm Citizen Payne. That's Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders, legendary newsman, legendary historian. And, yeah, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you again real soon. Just say it.